'Twas in the moon of winter time, when all the birds had fled, that mighty Gitche Manitou sent angel choirs instead. Before their lights the stars grew dim, and wandering hunters heard the hymn, Jesus, your King is born. Jesus is born in Excelsis Gloria. We think those words were first written about 375 years ago by a middle-aged Jesuit priest by the name of Jean de Brébeuf. Brébeuf was born in Normandy in 1593, and for most of his youth, he desperately wanted to be a scholar. He wanted to be a university professor, a professional academic. But sadly for Brébeuf, he wasn't a very good student, not by the standards of his time. He wasn't a very good student at all. So he did the next best thing. He became a priest. Brébeuf joined the Society of Jesus, or as the Jesuits as we know them today, the order that Pope Francis is a part of, and he was ordained to the priesthood in 1622. And after his ordination, Brébeuf's Jesuit brothers discovered that he had a real affinity with new languages. He picked up languages really easily. He easily learned Latin and Greek and a whole host of other European languages too. And so he was chosen by the superior of his order to become a missionary, to become a missionary in New France. And he arrived in Quebec City in 1625, and he spent most of the next 15 years working amongst the Huron-Wendat peoples, peoples who live in the part of Canada that we know today as southwestern Ontario. Now, what prompted Father Jean de Brébeuf to write this beloved hymn, this Huron Carol, which we just sang, Canada's oldest Christmas hymn, the Huron Carol? What prompted him to write this hymn, which he originally wrote in Wyandot, we don't know. We do know that he was a French colonist. We know that he was a French colonist, and he was motivated, we can say, but by what we would acknowledge today was a colonial theology of salvation. Brébeuf was certainly motivated by a colonial theology that sadly viewed indigenous peoples and their spirituality as backward and primitive and sinful. A colonial theology that ultimately produced reserves and blood quotas and residential schools. A colonial theology actively promoted by the Christian Church, including the Anglican Church of Canada, from which our church and this nation rightly continues to repent. All that was going on in the background. But why did this man write these lines? What prompted this young priest to see this image in his heart of a lodge of broken bark where the blessed babe was found, a ragged robe of rabbit skin enwrapped his beauty round? What did that French priest see that provoked that image to emerge from his soul? Did he see the children of the Huron in the Wendat, just like we see our children today? Did he see the love of mothers and fathers who cared for them and provided for them and loved them, just as Jesus Christ loves us, even though they didn't know about Jesus, even though they didn't speak the same language, even though they didn't speak of God in the way that he spoke about God, in the way that we speak about God? Did Brébeuf, this poor French priest, see God? See the Son of God, the Lord Most High, the Incarnate Word? Did he see him lying in the middle of the longhouse? Did he see the babe of Bethlehem lying in the middle of a Canadian longhouse, sanctifying the most unlikeliest of places, sanctifying the one place where Brébeuf, as a colonial missionary, would have least expected to see the face of his God, the longhouse? Did he see the baby Jesus lying amongst the people of these lands and sanctifying that most unlikeliest of place, just like he sanctified that other most unlikeliest of place, the stable in Bethlehem, so many centuries before? Now, 200 years ago this night, a little bit more recently in our history, but still a long time ago, 200 years ago this night, another priest set about writing another Christmas hymn. And this priest was living in a small town called Oberdord, what we now know today as Salzburg in Austria. And this priest, a young man by the name of Joseph Moore, was dealing with a really serious problem. He had a crisis on his hands leading right up to Christmas. The organ was broken. The church organ was busted, kaputz, beyond salvation. There was no money, and there was certainly not the technical skill to fix it. The organ was done. Now, we might hear that tonight and go, so what? It's a church organ. Big deal. Go on with the service without music. But this was 19th century Austria. This was a very big deal. This was the same society that had helped give us Mozart and Beethoven and Brahms. To not have music at Christmas was almost tantamount to sacrilege. But instead of getting down in the dumps, instead of going, woe is me, and simply offering his resignation to the bishop and saying, I can't do this, I can't deal with this anymore, Moore had an idea. Moore took a poem he'd written about a quiet Christmas some years earlier, and he asked one of his friends, an organist by the name of Franz Gruber, to set the poem to some simple guitar chords. And together they performed it for the first time as a hymn on Christmas Eve Mass at St. Nicholas Church in Oberdord 200 years ago to the day this night. And the first stanza of the poem reads as follows. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Regardless of this world's challenges, God always, always enters in and sanctifies and redeems. Whether it is something as trivial as a broken pipe organ in a church, or as complex as this world's racism and colonialism and the fractious relationships that continue to exist amongst human beings, regardless of the situation, God always enters in and sanctifies and redeems. Regardless of our best efforts to distance ourselves from each other, to differentiate ourselves from each other, to say that some of us are more important than others, some of us are more valuable than others, God always enters in and turns this world's expectations upside down. He enters into the most unlikeliest of things, the most unlikeliest of places, the most unlikeliest of people, and he transforms them. He transforms them into beautiful, radical, majestic works of art, timeless pieces of poetry and song. With our God, a stable becomes a royal palace, a stinky manger fed upon by donkeys and horses becomes a golden throne, a peasant infant, an infant so holy and mild, becomes the King of Kings. May the Holy Child of Bethlehem be yours this Christmas. May he be ours this Christmas. May Christ continue to enter in and redeem the sometimes stinky, sometimes grubby stables that are our human souls, with all of our rough edges, but with all of our beauty too. May Christ make himself a home anew this Christmas in the mangers of our hearts. And let heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Amen.